Blog Talk Radio.
Sean?
Yeah?
I'm having to keep up with the man for Blog Talk Radio. Sorry, you won't tell us. That's enough of a friend. Keep that with Blog Talk Radio.
You try to fix on your front what's going on, and I'll take over from here for now. As the Hot Runners usually says, welcome to another live edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, the Hot Rod is having technical difficulties, but this is Sean Black in the building once again. I'm actually going to be hosting the show until the Hot Rod gets himself straightened out. So we apologize for if it sounds kind of funky or anything is going on with that. But that said, it's a live show, and that's usually what we have to take care of. First of all, I'd like to thank you for joining us on The Absolute Truth. For those that are going to call in at some point, hopefully the board will be working. For those that want to call in, the number is 347-989-8402. That's for all of your questions and comments and anything related to any of the topics that we're going to talk about later on today during the show. Hopefully, everything will get straightened out within the next couple of minutes. If not, you'll be hearing a whole lot of me talking, which Hot Rod usually jokes about me talking too much anyway. So I guess this is my chance to actually start off.
Yeah. Okay. No, let me see. You hear an echo in the background, right?
I don't hear an echo, but I do hear you. So at least we know
that.
You
hear
me? Yes, I can hear you.
No.
The question is, can you hear me?
Unfortunately, I can't right now.
Okay. All right,
ladies and gentlemen, I will try. We're gonna do a short version of the show. First. Sean, I'm sure you want to send your condolences to someone.
Yes. For those that have not listened to the news or have been on the news, been near the news the last couple of hours, the wife of the former President of the United States, George H.W. Bush, his wife Barbara Bush, passed away earlier this evening at the age of 92, battling COPD and congestive heart failure. A pioneer to a lot of people, being in this sense married to a president and being the mother of a president. That's some sort of a resume that you can actually bring. But from all I've listened to over the years and I've seen, I don't think there have been many people that have said anything negative about Barbara Bush. She was born, but people don't realize she's from the New York area. She was born in Rye, New York, upstate New York. Has been with the former president as far as together as a couple, for they were married for 72 or 73 years, which a lot of people aren't even alive that long, and they were married for that long, and saw him go through being director of the FBI, going being vice president, two-term vice president under President Ronald Reagan, and then, of course, becoming president of the United States himself, serving one term. The entire family is going to definitely miss him, and the world is in mourning as the condolences have come through over the news and over Twitter and over other social media. So she is being missed and living a very long life at age 92, and our condolences go to the former First Lady as well.
Okay, I think I get it back to normal right now. I have no echoes. The board is back. Damn you, Blog Talk Radio. But the show must go on.
It's the ghost of Blog Talk past that's what's haunting your board right now.
Yes, and I'd like to apologize that Sean had wasted 8 minutes of the show time running his mouth, so it's time for me to piss some people off right now.
Sean,
are you ready to piss some people off?
Well, why not?
All right. Okay, imagine sitting in a cafe with a friend and not ordering anything because you was waiting for a friend, only to have police storm the place and arrest you. Sound crazy, right? Exactly.
Yes, it does.
Well, but in some areas. But for two men, of course, black, sitting in a Philadelphia Starbucks, this situation unfortunately became the reality. Footage filmed by a witness in the shop shows how the shocking incident, played it out. The police were called because these men hadn't ordered anything, wrote by Melissa DiPino, the person who posted the video on Twitter. They were waiting for a friend to show up, who did as they were taken out in handcuffs for doing nothing. All the other white people are wondering, why it never happened to us when we do the same thing? Okay. I'm sure Sean Block have a lot to say about the Starbucks situation. So, Sean, what's your intake of why you think this happened? And, of course, we knew the results of what happened with the Starbucks manager and employees. But first, like I said, why do you think this incident happened in the first place?
Well, this is a loaded question, and I'll get to the answer directly first. The reason why this happened is because, as we've seen from the video and from all of the news that we've listened to over the years and years and years, there seems to be, especially with white people in certain instances, in places of power, depending on where they are, they take a lot of their biases with them, even if they have power. Let's say they are a supervisor or whatever the case. Now, initially, what the report that was floating around was that they went into the store and wanted to use the bathroom, and they were told that they couldn't use the bathroom unless they made a purchase. And this was then met with some consternation about they're not leaving, and this is the reason why 911 was called. That was the initial report when the story broke. In essence, if you don't pay for anything going into a Starbucks, you're basically loitering. And if you can't stay, if you're there and you don't buy something and you don't leave the premises, then management is supposedly supposed to call the police. Now, the police doing their jobs, they were called in to find out what happened. And then, as you just alluded to from the video that was shown, that the two men were arrested basically for doing nothing. Now, with all the anger that has happened with this, a couple of things have come to light. One, this is obviously not the first time that this has happened. But number two, there was another instance in another Starbucks way back in January in California. Very similar. There was a video that somebody recorded. where there was a black man who was refused the code for the bathroom after a white man who had actually gotten out of the bathroom got the code. The difference is the white man that went into the bathroom got the code to go to the bathroom without making a purchase. The black man was refused a code for this, and he wouldn't make a purchase either. So the question was, well, is it because of my skin color is the reason why I can't go to the bathroom? And these kinds of implicit bias happen a lot in a lot of personal businesses. And the problem is, as I just stated, implicit bias, a fear, so to speak, in a lot of instances with black people. And this goes back to other instances throughout the country where you hear of some sort of story, some news, some sort of whatever, where an African-American, whether they're young, old, like we've heard of the Trayvon Martins and instances like that, where an African-American is looked at as a threat, not because they've done something, but just because of the color of their skin. I'll give you a couple more examples. In Detroit,
oh, God forbid.
Yes, God forbid, yeah. Just over the weekend, last Thursday, there was an instance in Detroit where a 14-year-old kid who missed his school bus going to school decided to try to walk to school from where he was dropped off and missed the bus. He went to a neighbor or somebody in the area who he didn't know, knocked on the door to try to get directions. This was a white person's house that he went to, knocked on the door, and the woman first who came to the door said, look, why are you trying to break in to my house? Which was then followed by a man who brought a shotgun with him and fired a shot at this kid. 14-year-old African-American child trying to get to school is initially looked at as somebody who is going to be an angry black person trying to break in. There was an instance that happened back in Detroit where this same instance similar to this in Detroit where there was a girl by the name of Renisha McBride, 19 years old, in Detroit, was in a car accident, got out of the car to try to get help, knocked on a person's window, was a white person. This white person had a shotgun and killed her, all because of this fear that seemingly overtakes a lot of people in a lot of instances, especially in rural areas where apparently there's this big fear that white people have this, not all white people, but in these cases, have this genuine fear and threat that something is going to happen if an African-American is there in a place of business or at their residence without some sort of ideal as to why they're there. And this has become the prevailing topic going on in America, especially with the advent of what's been going on with Trump and a lot of the ideals and a lot of the overt racism that we've been seeing. This has been the topic that's dominating the news a lot.
So are you trying to say because of Trump preaching, this is one of the reasons why white people in general are fear of the black society? Or do you blame the media, Trump, movies, entertainment, social media?
The fear was always there. I believe that there was, in some instances, when President Obama was in office, although there was a lot of racism before he got in office, even when he got it after it, while he was in office, a lot of that racism was seemingly bottled up. When Obama was left office and Donald Trump came in and said some of the things that he said in public and through the press during his campaign, I think it emboldened a lot of people that were in positions of power to speak their true feelings. The ones that had that hatred, that fear of an African-American or of minorities, to speak their minds. And a lot of this has happened in these pocketed instances, and we don't even know about the ones that we haven't been reported. These are just the ones that have made the news. Permeated in the media because of the social media, because of the news, because of other things that have happened. I don't think it's music. I don't think it's even those kinds of media. I firmly believe it's a lot of it is social media, and also because of what has happened, the prevailing attitudes that have come out of the Trump mindset that has emboldened people that think like him to actually no longer keep quiet and keep the racism below the surface. They're now emboldened to bring it up to the surface now.
But granted, all that you said, but let's go back to the Starbucks incident. You have two black guys sitting at the table, mind their own business, and the cops will call. Do you believe the cops handled the situation accordingly? Because we was arguing about that yesterday over the phone.
Yes. From when we spoke of this, we both agreed the cops did their jobs. But the only thing that was there was, and this is something that I brought up as well, when the police officers are brought into a situation after they've been called in, one of the things that they are usually supposed to do is to survey the area. They first obviously take into consideration what the call was and then surveil the area as far as usually in asking people what has happened, talk to other people that are in the situation. And usually after everybody in the situation has agreed nothing happened, they'll usually go back to the person that called, the situation would be diffused, and then they would probably walk out. Maybe there's just a warning. Maybe they say, okay, well, we're not needed. Let's walk out and make sure that things don't escalate. Nothing has happened. Everything is good. Everybody that was in the Starbucks talked to the police and told them, what is going on here? Why are these two getting arrested? What has happened? And that's part of it. The police, in my opinion, as far as that goes, from everything that I saw in the video, they did their jobs. They didn't get violent. They didn't amp the situation up, which we've seen a lot of instances like this happen. And they seemingly went through protocol. So on their side...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You said protocol. Do we know the protocol for Philadelphia or New York or Washington? Maybe I understand what you mean by... Everybody said they did nothing wrong. But remember, at the incident, there's three sides to every story, Sean. And we discussed this many times. If a police officer asks you gently, can you please get up and leave? Even though you did not do anything wrong, you have the argument of that. Did they comply by leaving, or did they just stay, trying to fight their rights, Sean?
Well, and that's...
That's answer the question. Don't give me no story.
No, I'm answering your question. They were trying to figure out why were they getting arrested in the first place. Because
they was lottery. Star Wars won them out for trespassing. You want explanation, understand that. But if the officer asks you to leave, comply and leave, should you just left and try to talk outside the restaurant, trying to get answers? Or are you trying to get answers inside in front of everybody?
What I think they tried to do is just try to find out what the whole premise was. If I think this is the situation that befalls most people in their situation, especially if you're a minority, African American, Hispanic, whatever. If you're in a situation where you feel you were not wronged, and you are peacefully trying to actually find out what's happening, you as a citizen actually have the right to find out, well, what am I being arrested for? What is the situation? Why am I getting put in handcuffs and being taken out?
True.
Police are there to do their job and to follow up on the call and follow up on what is supposed to be, quote-unquote, a trespassing violation. They're getting arrested. As the CEO of Starbucks, who reviewed the situation, said that the whole entire situation was absolutely egregious. So it wasn't on the police that is where the issue is. The situation is on the manager who made the call in the first place.
Yeah, but and Sean, then, you didn't say earlier that everybody was, if anybody told you they shouldn't do it, the cops should have went by what the people said. So you just sound contradictory right now to yourself.
No, I'm not contradicting myself. I'm telling you what happened. What they should have done, as I just told you, the police should have, usually in a situation, surveil the place, talk to the people that were there to find out what the situation was. What they actually did is completely different than that, which is they just went to do their job of what they were called in to do.
Because like I told you, we don't know their proper protocol.
You're true. You're right. I don't know what the protocol would be in, because it's different in different situations. We don't know if those police officers have ever been called to that particular area for any other crime involving
African-Americans. Maybe they want to be bothered with this thing, but they're like, I have better things to do by drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee and hanging
Maybe they didn't even want to do paperwork. Because we know police officers, if they have to arrest somebody, they usually have to take them to the station and go through paperwork. They don't want to go through
that. Excuse me, we got Kato. I'm sure Kato have a lot to say. And Kato, please don't tell me the history about Starbucks.
No, I'm not going to go into history. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Let's go.
Man, this whole thing with the Starbucks situation, what people really need to look at was this was the manager's fault at all of this. So all of this could have been avoided. But, you know, once again, we see this kind, these incidents involving black men with the fear of black men. I don't know what it was that was so scary, because obviously these two gentlemen were not causing any ruckus inside Starbucks, or were they getting violent or anything like that for that incident to take place, because they were just going in there to use the bathroom, as many other people do. I mean, I'm sure many of us have, you know, whenever we needed to use the bathroom, have gone to either McDonald's, Burger King, or whatever restaurant have you, that whatever restaurant that has restrooms, and say, you know, I just want to use the bathroom.
Hold on
you
one second.
Yeah,
a clicking sound.
Yeah, it sounds like a clicking sound. Maybe that's coming from K-Dog. Maybe that's coming from your side.
Yeah, I think
sure.
It's coming from your phone, K-Dog.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I have a microphone. Okay, let me see. Do you hear it
okay.
now?
Okay,
I hear you better
now.
Sorry about that, but it was like a lot of clicking sound. Yes, you were saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because, like I said, many people use these facilities, you know, for the bathroom. You know, they'll go inside of a restaurant to say, hey, you know, I just want to use the bathroom. But obviously these two young men weren't doing that. But the fear of black men, I don't know what it is.
But
that
okay,
prompted the manager.
But what about there was an incident that happened at the store that involved black people? Like Sean and I talked about, people focus on the negative of black stereotypes. You know, maybe there was an incident
that
at a store a few weeks ago that involved black men. Now, you know, all black men are angry. Or they're afraid they might get robbed. So how can you explain that to white people overall?
Right, that not all of us are violent. And, you know, one thing I do got to say is that at least the police officers in this instance, they didn't get violent. They were just calmly doing their jobs. But, however, it was like, what the manager did, whoever it is, did it in the wrong way. I mean, I'm sure because from what I saw in the video.
But do you think the manager was right to be fired?
Well, in this instance, because guess what? Here's the big picture. What the actions of the manager, what it caused was that it made Starbucks look bad. That's why immediately the CEO of Starbucks had to come up and apologize, because you know what you know the term, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch.
True.
Right?
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. One bad apple spoils a whole bunch.
Let me be the devil's advocate here. Are we too busy focusing because the way our mindset is, our society is, isn't we too busy focusing that it's a black thing, white thing overall? Could it be just another isolated incident that the person just did not want those two guys there in the first place? Do we really know for sure it was a black situation?
It's part of a cultural thought process.
Yeah.
The manager that actually did this spoke of what they thought was the issue. And they said basically at this time that she, quote, encountered many individuals who loiter in the cafe with no intentions of purchasing. At least one of those persons, as they claim, chased her around the store after she asked them to leave. So she grew visibly flustered during her unrelenting questioning. And she said that it violated a policy that's exclusive to the Center City, Philadelphia locations. And management has the discretion to ensure that it's enforced, even if it means calling the police. And they said that they don't inform the customers that she'll be calling the police. And that's what this whole instance is supposedly for. Now, the problem to answer your question is that this goes into a larger cultural problem, which has been called sitting while black, where we've seen many African Americans going into whether it's a cafe, whether it's a bookstore, whether it's some sort of clothing, if they're not going to quote unquote buy anything, management feels uneasy that they are there in the presence of whoever it is. Whoever management has that particular bias towards those consumers or customers that are there. Now, you don't know what that person is there for. You don't know if they've come in to buy something. You don't know if they're filthy rich. But the treatment has happened on a regular basis, and the problem is not necessarily that one store or that isolated incident. The issue is it has become regular treatment in a lot of places throughout this country of African Americans who are doing nothing at all because of a stigma or a fear or a stereotype that for whatever reason the African American that's going in is the boogeyman and something is bound to happen if they're not going to purchase something. And if they are that afraid that person is going to do something, they're going to enforce that situation to make sure that they feel safer when they're not there. Like I said, this isn't something that happens everywhere, but this happens in enough places where you can hear African American after African American telling you the exact same instance, or at least have one experience either that they've gone through or that they know somebody has gone through. And if that's the case, you know it's happened way too often.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
because you know what, Sean, and to add more to it, how many times have we seen this happen before? I mean, there was incidents right here in New York City, especially with Barneys, Macy's, where we've seen countless people going into the stores. Whenever a black person comes into a store, you know, the fear is, oh, they're coming in here to steal something. And, you know, they're the ones who are followed, and, you know, the first thing they do is, may I help you? Or you're like, oh, I'm just looking around, and they'll look at you like suspicious, like, follow this person.
Yeah. Now, Hot Rod, both of us talked about this also during our conversation, and we actually talked about the CEO of Starbucks. His name is Kevin Johnson. And he was literally front and center. The incident happened on a Friday. He was on television on Monday to address the situation in various outlets. And his apology, you know how you can look at a CEO of a company and say, oh, it's just some canned response. Oh, he's just talking a bunch of garbage to save face. I legitimately believe that he was embarrassed and felt very disgusted by the reaction that happened there. So I accept his apology. But as I stated before, there have been these instances that have happened in other Starbucks, like the one that I told you about that happened in Torrance, California back in January. Overall, the way it was taken care of, it's nipping it at the bud, but even more so that people don't realize is that Starbucks is going to close every Starbucks store location on May 29th because the CEO wants to retrain all of its managers and employees that work at Starbucks. So they're going to have one day, and that's next month, close all of their stores and try to make sure that they are much more sensitive as far as how they handle these situations. And they're taking that one day out of many days. And you know how Starbucks, how much money they make. As I told you off air, they open a Starbucks in China every 15 hours on average. So if they had that kind of power to close 8,000 stores in the United States just to retrain people, that shows you that they're serious about the situation.
Well, on that note, thank you to let me talk finally, Sean Black. But
anytime.
Yeah, I ain't talked that much. I'm just saying.
Now, because of you. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I lost my thought. Thank you. But do you give the CEO credit for what he's doing right now overall? I'm like, you guys, a lot of people on social media, like, you know, this is not enough, this has been going on for a long time. And Sean and I talk about it. I'm like, I give the CEO a lot of credit, the biggest credit in the world, because there have been other incidents at other companies. They have not done anything. Yes, this may be like a third or fourth incident that happened at Starbucks, but I think the reason why he finally took action now, because this video went viral very quickly. It went to 3 million viewers in one day.
Hot Rod, to echo what you said, listen, the CEO, he's doing the right thing, because you know what? You got to remember something. Like I said earlier, when one bad apple spoils a whole bunch. Now, the CEO, what he's doing, he's apologizing and doing damage control, because I just want to bring something up that's going to happen next month, I believe, in May 29th, that Starbucks is going to close for one day for training and
that's what I just brought up.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that. So, you know, give the CEO a lot of credit. I mean, people are sitting there getting angry. No, I can't get angry at the CEO, because he wasn't the one that caused the incident to happen. You got to look at the manager of the place that did it. I'm not going to blame all of Starbucks and paint Starbucks with one paintbrush and say, oh, Starbucks are racist. I can't say that.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think Hot Rod is trying to allude to, is that is this like the chicken or the egg? Is it the culture of racism that led to this, or is it that Starbucks has a policy that kind of bred the attitude towards this happening? And that's what I think is the issue.
DJ Majestic, excuse me, tested us that, dear black people, stop making black owned businesses your backup plan when racist companies upset you. Buy black first.
Right on, brother.
About that?
Listen, mind if I say something about that? You know what? It's always good to support your businesses. As black people, we do need to start supporting our own. We do need to start putting money into our own neighborhoods, because, to be honest, I don't feel, and this is me personally saying this, I don't feel that we support one another enough in this case when it comes to black business. You understand what I'm saying?
You need to fix your mic again. I'm sorry, K-Dog.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you're snapping your fingers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, well, okay, now you can hear me clearly now? Well, like I said before.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The protests, when I heard about it, and black people want to protest Starbucks, like one in Philadelphia, I call it BS, because not because of my sort of protest, but at the same time, I believe we'd be hypocrites. Black people to ourselves, because like you want to protest Starbucks because you know of the incident, but you still support other companies that's also quote unquote racist at the same time.
Yes, you see perfect example. Do you remember back in the 90s with the clothing designers when Ralph Lauren said what he said about black people? People were still wearing polo. People were still wearing Tommy Hilfiger. You know. And there were black designers. You had Cross Colors, you had FUBU, you had Carl Kanai. And, you know, like I said before, and I say it again, I don't feel that we support one another enough. I don't feel that it is, because we don't do that. We talk about black businesses, but yet how many of us put our dollars into black businesses?
Sean, last word?
That's a perfect example. If you realize that the African-American dollar puts in $1 trillion of revenue in this country, then the people that have the power to change something, if they realize it and actually follow through with it, they'll probably do a lot more with their voice and their wallet than anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have no females on for this panel tonight, but I feel like we could talk about this topic anyway between us three guys.
Okay. Let's go.
You know,
we'll try to do our best.
Yes. Well, you know, ladies have been like, you know, I don't want to sound like an oxymoron. I know last week I was cursing Cardi B out about her pregnancy and everything, how it was a big deal on social media. I'm like, just another woman that's pregnant, but we wish her well. Of course, this lady, and I'm not into celebrity gossip, but this one did caught my attention for a different reason. Of course, we all know that we cannot stand the Kardashian family. We all know they're full of crap. They're a bunch of millionaires who are famous for doing nothing, who portray their lives on television for entertainment purposes. The family of drama. Cool. Of course, this past week, or last week, Trista Thompson, he played for the Cleveland Browns. Oh, Cleveland Browns, excuse me.
He might as well play for the Cleveland Browns at this point.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, well, that team sucks. The Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's the one who's dating Khloe Kardashian, and who just had a daughter this past Monday named Sean did tell me to go pick up a weird name, but the name is cute, True. That's the name of the baby girl. Her name is True. But, it's True because something related to a family name in the past, like the father or something like that.
I believe the father's middle name was True
was
and the
True.
Grandfather's name was True.
It's something cute.
Yeah.
I understand that. But everybody keeps talking about the cheating that Mr. Thompson did, that he was up in New York when he was playing in New York Knicks. He was up at the club, and he had two females and on video up in the club, you know, handling his business. And he took one of the girls into the hotel room, and, of course, all hell broke loose, and the media continued to trash the Kardashians and Thompson. Here's my question to you guys. Yes, everybody cheats, give or take. I know, sorry, you never cheat, whatever. But why do you think, starting with Kadoff, people are obsessed with celebrity infidelity if knowing that Sean cheats, the producer cheats, Tisha cheats? Why about celebrity infidelity people are so obsessed about?
Well, the answer is simple. People live their lives through these celebrities, especially when someone is, you know, following a celebrity, like, all the time, and it makes big news, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe so-and-so cheated on this person. Why did you, you know, based on the way the person looks and say, oh, who would cheat on a Kardashian? Oh, I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he does that. And, you know, it becomes the big conversation at the water cooler or in the office or in the school, whatever have you. People do that because...
What's the difference between that and you? Let's say if you was in a heavy relationship right now, about to have a family, you went out and did your dirt. And, like, Sean and I would talk about you, and, like, all right, that's Kato. Who cares? We move on to our lives compared to the Kardashians.
It's all because of the limelight, especially when they're out there, like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he did this. People, you know how people are when it comes to celebrities. They become very obsessed with celebrities. They're big fans. They, you know, they look at it as big news, especially now with social media. It was the biggest talk all over social media. Hot Rod, you've seen it.
Yeah,
sure,
unfortunately.
Everyone was talking about it. How, oh, look at what Tristan Thompson did. TMZ is all over the place because these people's faces are in the limelight. Unlike us who are regular people whose faces are not in the limelight, yeah, we'll be called dogs and all that, but still, it's like this is Khloe Kardashian that Tristan Thompson cheated on.
You know, the funny thing about that is, as you stated, that these celebrities are in the limelight and normal regular people like you or Hot Rod or I or anybody else are not. Yet, the majority of the people that you hear this drama from put themselves in the limelight because of social media. And I'm talking regular people. Regular, normal, everyday Joe Schmo that I've never heard of before decides to stick his drama on Twitter and puts his girlfriend on blast or goes to Instagram and gets caught in a video coming out of the club with a girlfriend that's not his wife or something along those lines. And those are the parts that help make this situation worse than it usually can be. And here's the reason why I think that it's such a some sort of drama magnet. People, like you stated, K-Dog, people like to live vicariously through their favorite celebrities.
Yes,
also,
they do.
A lot of people, they seem to, they gravitate and in their mind define physical beauty as a reason not to have infidelity. If you are with somebody that looks so drop-dead gorgeous and, oh, man, she's a dime piece and she's this and she's that, then you can
no,
no
that
reason.
Person is behind closed doors.
Yeah. How many times have we heard, we've seen a beautiful woman maybe talk on a talk show or a TV, or maybe you heard a conversation like, yeah, well, my man cheated on me. He did this and he did that. It's like, oh, he cheated on you. You look gorgeous. You look gorgeous. How, I would never do that to you. And people always equate that physical beauty is the deterrent for somebody cheating. And although somebody can be beautiful on the outside,
you don't know who that person is on the inside.
25, 35 figure and gorgeous hair, eyes, lips, skin, and everything else. That doesn't necessarily make the person physically. You still have to be with the person emotionally, mentally, where they're at as far as thought process. And nobody realizes that is the biggest case of all. Now, the majority of men that are in relationships that go through this stuff, they think they can get away with it because in their mind they're invincible. And in a relationship with somebody, they're thinking, oh, well, she'll never know about that. She'll never know about this. But we live in a society now where everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a camera, everybody, especially, and if you're a celebrity,
the cameras are on you.
You've seen on, like, TV how often we've seen celebrities get busted. Getting married. Or this close to going into a relationship, or this close to having their first baby, or whatever is the case.
They get
in the situation. Yes, and in the situation with Tristan Thompson, he was spotted with not just one, but
two
people going into a club that was not Khloe Kardashian, who was home pregnant with his baby, and he gets spotted doing all kinds of salacious stuff. Why people care about it is the same reason why people look at Maury Povich. It's the same reason people look at Jerry Springer. Because if you see their train wreck, it makes you feel much better about yourself. And in a lot of instances, they look at that as the cautionary tale and figure that they're dumb enough to go out there and do that. I'm never going to get caught doing that. And what ends up happening,
what you think.
You see them on TV, on World Star Hip Hop or one of the others, getting into a fight with another guy over some female, or two females beating each other up over some stupid guy, and it's the same kind of nonsense.
Well,
you know,
think overall for Tristan Thompson, okay, like you guys said, they, you know, invincible, you know, there's cameras everywhere. You think overall, you are dating / married or having a family with a Kardashian. You know there's a camera in every single direction you go.
Exactly.
And TMZ and paparazzi everywhere because they're all the Kardashians. If you want to do something, we'd be smart enough to hire people to cover for you, bodyguards. Like, listen, give me that girl, give her my number, blah, blah, blah. You go through the back, I come through the front. You know, there's ways about it. Apparently he was not smart enough to do it. Or he just got lost in the moment because either he was high or drunk or whatever. Or just, like you say, Sean, he's invincible. I'm just saying that if you know you're in the limelight, there's ways about it. Yes, you could get caught, but look at the time now, and you know Kardashians is a very powerful family in their Hollywood.
Oh, yes, they are. Well, they're very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, Hot Rod, it's all about the modern technology, because you go ahead and mess around, you're still going to get caught regardless, because guess what? Cameras are on you. And plus, you know there's cameras everywhere.
So that do you want to be still be in the limelight? If you don't want to be caught, if you don't want to be bothered? You know, you can't have it both ways.
You have no choice but to take it. You have no choice but to take it, because guess what? No matter how much people say, oh, I don't want to be in the limelight. Well, guess what? Your name is out there. You are on the limelight. That's why some celebrities, they live such low profiles. You hardly see them at celebrity parties. Once it's an award show, they're not at their after parties. They go home. They keep a low profile. They're like, yeah, I'm not making a big deal out of myself.
Well, I will continue with this conversation next week when I have Tisha back. But do you think Khloe is doing the right thing right now, not knowing the whole story, of staying in the relationship for the time being?
I think from everything that I have seen or heard about her as a person, she seems to be a very She seems to be a very loyal person, but this is the takeaway that I get out of this. When she met Tristan Thompson, he was in a relationship where he had gotten someone else pregnant, and she almost flaunted the fact that she had Tristan during that whole situation. So in this sense, she should not be overly surprised if this has happened, because it happened. This is how she got him in the first place.
So, Kato, with that, what Sean said, the karma, what goes around comes around. Maybe do you think that's
exactly
why she gave him a chance?
Well, you know what? That's the thing. The way she met him. Remember, he wasn't single. That's the thing. It's like it goes. What comes around goes around. I'm being bold about it because, hey, you stole him from someone else. What makes you think he's going to be faithful to you? If he could cheat on you, if he could cheat on his woman with you, what makes you think that he's not going to cheat on you with someone else?
Now,
that's basic
guys,
facts.
Do you consider this Tristan Thompson a serial cheater or just a man who's just having his fun?
If he's in a relationship, if he communicated with Chloe that he was in a completely monogamous relationship with her and her alone, and they weren't split up, they weren't broken up, and they don't have that, you know, get out of jail card that we heard about a lot of NBA players having. If this wasn't the case, then yeah, he's a cheater. If this is something that he didn't explain was supposed to happen and he's supposed to be just with her, then yeah, he's cheating. But if they've explained it and it's an open relationship and she understands, well, I'm over here, he's doing this, he's touring, he's all over the place with the Cavaliers, they're going from New York, they're going to Dallas, they're going to Florida, etc., and knows that he has urges and needs that she can't fulfill, if that's what they've discussed, that's between her and him.
Right.
Okay.
Right about that.
I just find it weird that how people do, like, you know, they bash these type of relationships, this type of infidelity, but they go through it themselves, you know. It's like, how can you be on Chloe's side? As Sean just said, she did the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, earlier.
You're the woman.
So, like, how does people, the fans, will take one side not knowing the whole story? And once again, everybody cheats, either emotionally, physically, mentally, or whatever. It's like, what's the big deal now? Especially with celebrities, but hey. Whatever.
Listen, it doesn't change nothing because guess what? No matter what, someone's going to cheat regardless. It's like, you know, you're going to be checking, you know, people don't physically, not everybody cheats physically, but mentally. You'll cheat. In your mind, you'll cheat. People do that.
And
yes.
Also, like with Tristan Thompson going all over the country, who knows what kind of quote-unquote urges he may have had that he never checked out of, that he is supposed to be, if he's in a relationship, he's supposed to have grown out of. Now,
right.
They're both young. Chloe, I think, is like 32. 34, something like that. Tristan Thompson is like 30, 29, whatever age. They're both young. And in the situations that we see with a lot of these celebrities, they meet each other at parties or et cetera, et cetera. She has a proclivity for hip-hop artists and athletes, which seems to be a lot of the Kardashian, the stereotypical male that they look for with all of the females that are there. And with a lot of that comes a lot of baggage because if you know from seeing these athletes and seeing them, they're touring all the time. So a lot of times they're in a club or they're hanging out somewhere or they're drinking and they're, you know, popping bottles and throwing money in the air, that stereotype. Not all athletes are like that, but that's usually what the stereotype is. And those are the types that a lot of people that aren't named Kardashian are into as well, especially the young millennials that go to the clubs and look for that same type of male. But then at the same time, if you're looking for that type of male and that type of male burns you, there can't be that level of upset when a lot of that situation happens, especially if it's the same thing over and over.
Over and over again.
At some point, you have to look within yourself and say, why keep running into the same person, the same type? And a lot of people go through that as well.
Oh, yes, they do.
It could be low self-esteem, depression. It could be anything. Who knows?
True. Exactly.
Time and time again, it's like a repeat. Like, all the time, if you're with someone and the person is a lazy bum and every guy you're with is lazy, that's a problem. That's a problem in yourself.
Yes. Well, I want to go to the last topic now before we sign off. There's a little bit of football situation. Guys, I don't want to talk about the history. I don't care. We've been talking about this topic for the last 2 years. I don't want to talk about the future of this character. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Colin Kaepernick once again. The most talked about topic for the last 2 years. He's somewhat back in the news again a little bit. The Seattle Seahawks did offer him for training, but they asked him, if you do come up to training for tryouts, you need to stop kneeling before the national anthem. And he said no, he refused, and they're still in talks right now. Now, gentlemen, do you think at this point right now, after all the drama, all the things we have been talking about the last 2 years, do you think he should stop kneeling during the national anthem and just move on and get a job? Or if he does stop kneeling for the national anthem, do you give him respect more for doing it? Or you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I'm out of it tonight. Go ahead, Sean.
I think the question that you're looking for is, would you have more respect for him if he decided to stop healing and continue to make a paycheck? Would it compromise his morals to do so he could continue playing? Or should he just go ahead and just say, you know what, I'm not going to kneel. I mean, I'm going to kneel as long as I see injustice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now,
keep in mind, injustice will last for a very long time, maybe forever.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I'll give you a scenario, and then it'll make you think. What happens if he signs, let's say he signs with the Seattle Seahawks, who gave him a tryout, but then they cancel it because of what you just stated. He says, I'm going to go into the season, and I'm not going to kneel, and you have my word that's not going to happen, and you have me as a backup quarterback, and I'm here sitting behind Russell Wilson in case he gets hurt, and I'm your guy. I'm all in. And then let's say 6 weeks into the season, a cop shooting happens in the Seattle area. And it's an African-American that was begrudged. Something horrible happens. Then you know because of that, will he go back on his word to the team based on that, knowing that he was going to go ahead and say, I'm not going to kneel? Or is he going to protest and do that again? And the problem with that is that you know that social injustice always happens no matter what race you are. African Americans are always going to have something happen at some point. Is he going to go against his compromise to the team, or is he going to go against the compromise to himself? And in my opinion, I don't think he's ever going to play another down of football in the NFL again because of that same exact reason. Eric Reed, who was the co-conspirator, if you want to call it, the person that helped co-create the kneeling, he was his teammate in San Francisco. He had the same situation happen to him. He went to another team to look for as a free agent, and he's basically been blackballed as well. He can't get a job because of the exact same reason.
Okay,
exactly.
But now I have to give it to Brother B. Brother B, you got the last 5 minutes. What do you like to
talk
about?
What's up, Brother B?
What's up, y'all? What's up? Salutations.
Hey.
Greetings.
Wait,
what's going on?
Hey.
Pardon the background noise. I'm on my way to work, as usual.
Okay, no problem.
But,
we got a Starbucks incident with the cops. We got Colin Kaepernick, who might get a job. And we have, I know you don't care, the Khloe Kardashian infidelity.
I don't care about that.
I knew that.
Yeah. What I would say was this about the Starbucks thing. You know, I had an interesting conversation with someone. And the thing is, the employees' default. We can scream Starbucks all we want to, but then at the same time, someone did bring to my attention that Starbucks has a policy where, you know, you could just come in, do yada yada, sit down and relax and chill or whatever. However, I don't know if that policy extends to using their bathroom, because a lot of places are like, well, hey, you know, you have to be a paying customer in order to use the bathroom. So my whole thing is this. The employee just needs to be fired. I have to say it. Black people need to start stepping up their game. And if you're going to boycott something with some seriousness. Because I find it interesting how the situation with Stephon Clark
just got swiped under the rug. Like, you're trying to tell me an incident about two guys not being able to use the bathroom in a Starbucks is more important than getting justice for Stephon Clark? Listen, step up your game. Stop picking these little targets. And, you know, basically it's like you want to – there's certain causes you want to fight for, and there's certain things you're just like, you know what, I'm not going to shoot for that because I know I'm not going to win. How do you know? And we don't remain consistent. We don't remain consistent on the things that we ask for. Yeah, and sometimes we can't do that because, you know what, the people that are against us don't pick and choose. They just choose to screw with us. Just like that person, if they were in fear of their color or they were just in fear of two men, big men in general. The whole thing is if they remain consistent. They don't stop. We do. And that's the problem. And when it comes down to Colin Kaepernick, listen, if he doesn't play anymore, I feel bad for him. But he's going to have to get a job and compromise his integrity. So all the kneeling that he did is going to be for nothing if they say, hey, you just can't do this.
Exactly.
And that was a question I posed. Like, what do you do? Do you respect him if he does kneel, if he stop kneeling? Or do you think he should go carry on and do what he believes in?
Listen, we ain't paying his mortgage. We ain't paying his bills. Do what you got to do, brother. You made your point. What we should have did, we should have backed him 100%. We should have backed him 100%, not just 50%.
But like Sean said, let's say the incident happened again. What should he do? Take another kneel or just back out of it and just keep his mouth shut?
I don't think he should do anything. For what? He proved his point. Like I said, what are the rest of us going to do? What is everybody else going to do? That's the whole question, man. Like, we, once again, picking and choosing. Oh, so if Colin Kaepernick don't do it, then we shouldn't do it? Come on now.
Kaepernick has made more than enough money in his 6 years in the NFL that he's not poor by any stretch of the imagination. He's made, I think, at least $40 million in the years that he's been here.
He still needs a job. He still needs to get a
This is my
– yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he's still – and he can be a philanthropist. He can still do the yeoman's work if he feels that he wants to do charity work, et cetera. He has a foundation where he's trying to help inner youth.
Sean, you're a sports nut, aren't you? You love football.
Yeah.
It's your passion. So just imagine his passion, because that's
true.
Who plays it. That's his
true.
Thing.
Yep.
So you can't – so
yeah,
we're asking him to – we're asking him to stop doing what he loves to do – just for the sake of what? Basically, we're telling him to stop doing
I'm
for
not
what?
Saying, I'm not saying that he should quit what he loves doing. What I'm saying is that if he never plays another down of football again, he has made a good living for himself. If he wants to continue the fight, because this is what he's going up against, he's either trying to continue to play a game or he's going to have to come to a point where he either goes elsewhere and leave the NFL or continue to do the work that he's been doing for the last 2 years. That's something that he's going to have to make the decision of. Because in all reality, I think the NFL's made its decision for him.
All right. We have 10 seconds left. Imagine Block Talk telling Brother B, High Rock, K-Dog, and Sean Black, we can either calm down or we can't do the show no more. What should we do about that? Imagine that. If that ever happened to us.
Imagine if the fight worked the way it was supposed to, then we wouldn't have to ask that question.
Exactly.
Well, my thing is this.
Well.
Listen, it's all about communication. Real communication comes with passion. If you don't have a passion about what you believe and what you're speaking on, then there's no purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Passion has purpose.
Just one quick thing, Our friend Max has his own blog. It's called Real Issues with Lewis. It's realissues.blogspot.com. So check that out. He actually does pretty good stuff.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night now. Take care.
All right, good night, y'all.
Peace out, everyone.
The pleasure was all yours.
Peace.
That's right. Peace.